a multicolored scarf of chocolate, black, white, pink, and blue tied around my waist, an oversized blue-flowered April Cornell bag slung over my shoulder. I left my hair down, dark strands falling halfway to my waist, while giant silver hoops swung from my ears. I could, and had on occasion, pass as Hispanic. I thought that look might be safer for where I would be spending my afternoon. State Street was hopping as usual. I tossed my token into the slot, breezed my way down the stairs to the wonderful, rich, urinal smell that accompanied any subway station. The crowd was typical Boston. Black, Asian, Hispanic, white, rich, old, poor, professional, working class, gangbanger, all milling about in a colorful urban tableau. Liberals loved this crap. Most of us simply wished we could win the lottery and buy ourselves a car. I identified an elderly lady moving slowly with a teenage granddaughter in tow. I stood next to them, just far enough away not to intrude, but close enough to seem part of the group. We all regarded the far wall studiously, everyone careful to avoid one another's eyes. When the subway car finally arrived, we pressed forward as one cohesive mass, squeezing into the metal tube. Then the doors shut with a whoosh, and the car hurtled into the tunnels. For this leg of the trip, there weren't enough seats. I stood, holding a metal pole. A black kid wearing a red headband, oversized sweatshirt, and baggy jeans gave up his seat for the elderly woman. She told him thank you. He said nothing at all. I shifted from side to side, eyes on the color-coded transit map above the door, while I did my subtle best to appraise the space. Older Asian man, working class, to my far right, sitting, head down, shoulders slumped. Someone just trying to get through the day. The elderly woman had been given the seat next to him, her granddaughter standing guard. Then came four black male teens, wearing the official gangbanger's uniform. Their shoulders swayed in rhythm with the subway car as they sat, eyes on the floor, not saying a word. Behind me, a woman with two small kids. Woman appeared Hispanic, the 6- and 8-year-old kids, white, probably a nanny taking her young charges to the park. Two teenage girls next to her, both decked out in urban chic, hair in braids, oversized diamond studs winking from their ears. I didn't turn, but pegged them as worth keeping on radar. Girls are more unpredictable than boys, thus more dangerous. Males posture. Females have a tendency to get straight in your face. Then when you don't back down, start slashing away with concealed knives. I wasn't too worried about the girls, though. They were the known unknowns. It's the unknown unknowns that can knock you on your ass. The Ruggles Street stop arrived without incident. Doors opened. I departed. No one spared me a second glance. I hefted my bag over my shoulder and headed for the stairs. I'd never been to the new police headquarters in Roxbury. I'd only heard the stories of midnight shootings in the parking lot, of people being mugged outside the front doors. Apparently, the new location had been some political bid to gentrify Roxbury, or at least make it safer at night. From what I'd read online, it didn't seem to be working. I kept my bag tucked tight to my side and walked on the balls of my feet, ready for any sudden movement. The Ruggles Street station was large, crowded, and dank. I wove my way swiftly through the mass of humanity. Appear purposeful and focused. Just because you're lost is no reason to look that way. Outside the station, down a steep flight of stairs, I spotted the towering radio antennae to my right and took the hint.